April is Earth Month, a time to reflect on the impact of our choices. Sustainability starts at home and especially in the bedroom. Did you know most mattresses end up in landfills within a decade? That's why I love Avocado Green Mattress, made with certified organic materials like latex, cotton, and wool. Avocado mattresses aren't just built for comfort. They're built to last. And lasting quality means fewer replacements, less waste, and a healthier planet. Every avocado mattress is crafted ethically, climate neutral certified, and made in their own zero waste factory, diverting 85% of waste from landfills. This Earth Moon, choose sleep with purpose. Choose sustainability. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better for you and the planet. We talk so much about technology on this show. And you know that AI is incredible for all business owners. And something that has been an absolute game changer for me has been leveraging Notion Mail, which I have recently switched to. Notion Mail is the inbox that thinks like you, automated, personalized, and flexible to finally work the way you work. With AI that learns what matters to you, it can organize your inbox, label messages, draft replies, and even schedule meetings. No manual sorting required. We get so many emails on an everyday basis, and I miss so many things. So I love how it filters what's important with the AI organized inbox. It lets me create custom views to stay focused, and it helps me fly through emails using snippets, one-click templates for follow-ups and intros. If you're already using Notion, it integrates seamlessly with your docs, so everything just works together. Get Notion Mail for free right now at notion.com/founders and try the inbox that thinks like you. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/founders to get Notion Mail for free right now. When you use our link, you're supporting our show, notion.com/founders. Hey everyone, welcome back to Founders Story. We have another amazing episode of two guests. I have to say, my favorite opportunities to discuss and interview people is when it's more than one person, because it's so great having two different perspectives. Today we have Yaroslav Lazor, the CEO of Railsware, and Sergey Korolev, the co-CEO of Railsware, engineers turned entrepreneurs, active promoters of engineering and a product mindset. Since you're engineers, we're going to get like real detailed in the weeds of things. And I can't wait for that. But first, what was the spark that made you even say, I want to start Railsware and this is the industry I want to be in?
Hi, everyone. So the spark really is the love for software, ability to see and feel that software is something that can change the world drastically, and passion for building software. It's an amazing ride always. You learn like crazy, you grow, and it's like there are those people who are certain sports junkies, right? They really enjoy doing a particular sport, whether it's snowboarding or rowing or anything like that, right? This is a sport for me personally. I'm pretty much sure for Sergey it is the same. And this is a sport where you can get like infinitely better because there's so many dimensions. So you can like expand into this multi-dimensional world, the multiverse, and learn and understand. And you see those, you know, miraculous stories. And it's something that lifts your spirit and gives you ability to see, wow, I made those incredible results. And software businesses are even more multidimensional from that perspective, right? Because you can change people's lives, you can, you know, cure cancer or whatever it is. You can change anything in the world with the proper amount of software. We see what those big tech companies are doing with the world. And you can do some amazing things. And at the beginning, it was more a sport of writing code and being in code. And now it's more of a sport of like this multidimensional change and influence, helping people grow, helping amazing individuals grow into professionals, grow into influential people, into influential leaders, changing things. It's just great. It's great, right?
So I mentioned the metaphor of sport, and I think we started as swimmers or runners, but then we went to triathlon. And I don't know, exathlon, whatever it is. So at some point you understand that you love to swim, but then you want to do something else as well. And with software companies, it like in our case, I believe it works the same way. You start with writing code, but then you want to influence decision, what exactly you want to deliver, then you want to influence the design, and then you want to influence the business model, and so on and so on. And in the end, you start to build company which handles all those aspects. But then, of course, you do something that you don't, maybe you don't want to do, something like finances or legal or something like that, operations. But when you change the perspective and you treat those disciplines as, you know, as a product as well, then it helps a lot. It's, by the way, a very good concept we've delivered, kind of we've coined in the company, is like doing everything as a product, as a software product. Kind of whatever you take, like if it's a legal, if it's a finances, if it's a, you know, recruitment, whatever, you treat it as a product because there are users on both sides and they have some needs and you want to cover those needs with the software or processes or any other things.
So do you think it takes a different skill set or mindset for an entrepreneur that builds, let's say, a single product or a single service versus somebody like yourselves where you're building services for other people? And which I love doing companies like this because I get very bored of doing just one thing, and being able to help many different people do different things, I feel like it's like a refresh every time. But do you think it's different when you are a service provider helping other people be successful and building stuff for them versus you're an entrepreneur who's just hyper-focused on building one thing?
Right. So in our case, we're both, right? So we run three of our own products and we run now joint venture products. So we run a lot of products. We run about 6 to 7 products, depending on how you look at it, of our own products. And then we also help other companies and do still help other companies build their own products. And it's definitely more growing and engaging, right? Because when you do your thing and you have 5 people in the team, you're like, well, you know, maybe there's this in the world or that in the world. Maybe if I would raise money, you would get this. Maybe if I would hire in San Francisco, you would get that. And from our side, we burn candle, not from both sides, we burn candle from all sides. We have clients in San Francisco. We have clients who have hundreds of millions of revenue. We have clients who have hundreds of thousands or zero revenue. So we have all those experiences. We're living them in the same time. It's kind of a multiverse. And we know everything that's happening in those companies because we help them. And we know the founders. We know their stories. And a story for one founder is a lot because you basically talk to them and they tell you their whole life and how they made decisions and how they didn't make decisions. It's a huge amount of knowledge packed in this simple medium of just working with a person, and you learn just much better than those what if scenarios. You just see them from all perspectives, so that definitely helps us to grow and to understand everything, you know, all the aspects.
And I just want to say here quickly why many products appeared or popped up in Rails for. All the products that we have, they originally started from not products, but just a piece of software that resolves our own problem. So MailTrap, TitanApps, and Coupler, we've built it for ourselves first. Then we kind of start to use it. We find out that it's interesting and it solves actually the problem. Then we shared it to the community. The community loved it and started to use it. So we started to get more users. And then, of course, it kind of pushes you to think maybe it makes sense to invest into that product. Firstly, it's time and then it's money. And then kind of, you know, it has own pace. So all three products have been started this way. Well, joint venture, Yaroslav mentioned, that's already a conscious decision. Because if we talk about own products, then we cover both sides. It's a biz dev and marketing, right? But also engineering and product development ourselves. And with joint venture, we find expert in their domains and we join our efforts So the best of the knowledge subject matter expert and the best of our qualities in building software.
So do you find a correlation between if I have a problem, I solve it for myself and then it's successful, so then I open it up to others, versus somebody that comes to you and says, here's a problem I think we need to solve, let's build it for other people before it's being tested internally?
So it's technically never not, you know, this, you open up this Pandora box to a very big, like very huge world, right? Because, so I have a friend, he's been doing festivals, and he was hosting hundreds of thousands of people on those festivals. So if he talks to me about tickets, ticketing system, ticketing problems, and how to work with ticketing information and information of demographics, who buy those tickets to be able to market better, rather than when someone out of college just thinks, you know what, I just bought a ticket on Ticketmaster and there was a bad experience, I want to make it great. Very different worlds. Both of them come up with an idea. And at the same time, the funny thing is that it's very hard to say who will be more successful than not. We had those cases. We had a client who was like a San Francisco blueprint, Series A, Series B, very serious, tens of millions of money raised, and someone else who has like $170,000 budget, you know, and then wants to build an app, and then you could guess that, you know, the San Francisco guy will build a billion-dollar company, right? But it was the opposite. So it's a big area, which has some logic, and it has this organized chaos around it. How and who and why will be more successful? We don't have a crazy great playbook for that. Our own products are not billion-dollar companies yet. We definitely work in that direction. And then when we'll crack it on a scientific level with knowledge and understanding, rather than on a random level where, you know, you have ideas. But there's some principles that do work. If you have domain knowledge about the product and it's good domain knowledge, and you understand the customer base, and you understand the how big is your target addressable market? What's your go-to-market strategies to them? How do you approach this target addressable market? What can you tell them something that they're going to go to you rather than someone else? How are you going to test that? You won't overbuild the software for what you're trying to test. Maybe do some painted doors, and then people will, you know, go there and be like, oh great, the interest is there. You'll find some people from the industry. You'll talk to them about it. It's those things help. But it doesn't. There's no like a particular use case. And the problem is that those people who are successful, when they tell their stories, they change it in their head because it was not like they're telling it was, right? And then some of them are more modest, and some of them say like, you know, I'm a genius and I'm a straight up genius. I came up with this idea and I had it in my head and I built it. Some of those people are crazy because they were building products for 3-4 years and they made $200. And then eventually somehow they build it into a billion-dollar business, which doesn't like, it, you know, the, you know, people like hockey sticks, but it's not a hockey stick. It's a perpendicular. It's just some of that, you know, some of that needs this founder mode craziness in it. Like, I would say founder mode craziness is very important spices that you put on top of everything, understanding and going deep. But at the same time, I saw people who are very successful. They work out of their intuition. Their organization methods are not great. Their organization within their company are not great. The way they hired people and they created the structure, they don't even know how it works. It just works. And I don't even tell them anything because I don't want to break it. It's a very huge area that, you know, you can cover. But there are some principles for sure.
So I'm curious then, because you've been able to work with, and thank you for sharing that, by the way. I really like the ticketing example, because those are two very extremes, and it is very fascinating to see in the end who does become the most successful. You know, but I guess at the same time, if you already have a successful business and you can add in a component and make it even better, that's success in its own right, even if it doesn't make itself $1 billion. I'm curious on the traits of successful entrepreneurs. So when you think of yourselves, or if you think in, you know, you've worked with other people who have also found success and you've been integral in that success, if you could tell me two or three traits that you feel that either you all share or people have to have in order to find success.
So I would say that there are different stages require different skill sets. So if it's an early stage, you need to be able to wear different hats and be a visionary and a doer at the same time. So you need to project the perspective somewhere in the future, but also do just small tasks, big tasks all the day long. That's the beginning, right? But then when you grow your company, you need to be able to switch from this mindset into the mindset of the team builder, first of all, because the great entrepreneur in the end must build a team, because it's impossible to implement all the plans by yourself. And you can lose the momentum if you will when you will proceed to move forward with your principles of building the early stage company. So you need to switch your mind into the scaling mode, right? And then you need more people and you need more professionals. You need to start to play like a coach. When you pick the right people and put them into the right positions, you start to build schemas which kind of fits the most for the team set that you have. So you do a lot of shuffle, and kind of setting up those people structure is very, very important component of successful company and successful entrepreneur. And if without people, without team, it's just impossible. Well, sometimes you have some luck and you will be able to build company even without being able to manage people properly. But if we talk about the science part of it, then managing people, setting up the proper teams, being able to make decisions, you know, to fire people early if you kind of not to stretch this process into the time, you need to make sharp decisions and you need to make them fast.
At the same time, there are solopreneurs who take companies to like 6 million ARR, which is a very good financial success for some of the teams that have like 40 people they wouldn't have. You kind of have to balance everything, right? The same thing, if you feel that you're suffocating with work. But I would say one of the most important elements is understanding and conscious understanding. It might be even intuition. Intuition with a decent amount of logic on top of it. If you know what you're doing and you're proceeding and basing it the right way, you can get, you know, very effective with very small team. Sometimes if you overhire people, and they can be great people, they will be missing something. And instead of you doing the right thing for the business right now, what you'll do, you'll be like, hey, I hired those people, they cost a lot, so let me go manage them. You start managing them, you start coming up with like whatever, co-products or something like that, or some features that nobody needs, or expanding the features. And you do the wrong thing for the business, but the right thing for your employees that you just overhired. There are no rules that you can apply to yourself without conscious understanding what is going to happen next. So it's like conscious understanding is important, right? Luck is important. I don't know how to time that one, right? How to pace it and how to like take it out of like, I don't know what, maybe there are probably some techniques and principles, shaman techniques and principles that involve a candle and stuff. But there's like, you don't, that it doesn't mean that you need to hire the team. Like especially with AI hype, there's stuff that you can do with AI that will actually work and will be consistent. Apple seems not to be able to do it with Siri, but some companies are able to do it with some other tools. It's you need to have understanding, and understanding comes from also knowledge and your experience, right? And it comes from luck. It's so huge. We've seen it throughout all our clients.
It's somehow in all those successful stories, you rarely can hear that there was a luck. I mean, usually people don't say that, but in many successful stories, luck was the key thing that happened in certain moment of time, and you know, proper time, proper proposition, proper people met each other, and but when did the right thing, yeah. But sometimes, but people usually prefer not to talk about this way. They rather say that everything has been planned this way from the very beginning, from the childhood, kind of envisioned. But
kind of. At the same time, Anton Horowitz has this great article that helped me throughout the years. It's called "The Most Difficult CEO Skill: Managing Your Own Psychology." One of his points is don't quit. It's pretty simple. If you quit, even if luck is there to, you know, present itself to you and you're not there, then you know, if something falls from the tree, you have to be under the tree. So don't quit is a really great idea. A lot of, in our cases, we kind of rely more on trend rather than particular use case right now. So we know we have those games or situations that happen every time, and every time it feels like it's the end of the world. And then when we went through 10 ends of the world, we were like, you know, maybe we don't call it the end of the world because the world is not ending. Maybe we call it just, you know, something hard that we went through. Like, I mean, our country went through war, and we survived that as a company. And the don't quit is really important thing. Another thing is what Anderson Corral is saying, it's technique to calm your nerves. So at some point, emotionally, you can burn out, but it's a choice. And it's a choice in front of you. You burn out by burning yourself out. So, you know, lower the gas, don't burn yourself out. It's actually very egoistic to burn yourself out because you're like, you're taking things the wrong way. You're being too connected to what's really happening. And you're like, you know, it feels so rough. Look, well, don't feel that roughness. It sometimes that doesn't make sense to do it this particular way. So just go, you know, calm down your nerves by like making some friends and getting things out of from your hat into the paper. In the hat, they're always you know, more painful. But focus on the road, not on the wall. That's the words of Anderson Horowitz, not mine. But they really help me throughout the time to kind of remember them. But one thing is to read them. The second thing is to actually rely on your past successes. Oh, I was in a situation like this. Oh, it felt really hard. I did solve it. I didn't know how I will solve it, but I found a way. So maybe, you know, maybe I rely on myself this time, and because I did handle things like that, that really helps a lot. It helped me a lot in a lot of the cases when you know, where you feel nervous and you just go through it. So, you know, don't quit. And those techniques are really, really cool.
Yeah, I like that, don't quit. I'd say, you know, many of the people that we've interviewed, if you ask them, luck was a major part of it, and timing might have been the most important. And, you know, if they quit at year one, then they wouldn't have anything. If they quit at year 10, quit at year 15, it just was a matter of time for them. And then they, you know, success or exit or whatever would have come to fruition. So don't quit might be the best entrepreneurial advice. I appreciate that. As simple as it is, I'm curious on diving into with AI. So there's this whole talk around, you know, the unicorn solo entrepreneur. So, you know, how big can you grow and scale a company nowadays? Leveraging AI, I'd say even leveraging partners, but not really having a lot of employees, being more like a solo-ish founder and leveraging these resources in AI. How do you see this going? Being as, you know, you're in the industry that is, I'm sure, impacted tremendously through AI. So how do you see this coming with being a, not necessarily just a solo founder, just having less employees, but really scaling and growing a larger company?
So it's a big question if you will have really smaller amount of employees. So because like when ChatGPT appeared, people start to think that content writers will disappear from the market right away. But it didn't happen this way. They just started to spend more time on preparing bullet points, collecting stories, kind of creating the concepts. And then with help of ChatGPT, they started to create those bigger articles. So instead of two, three, four articles per month, they were able to deliver, like, say, 5-8 articles per month. So they shifted more towards creating stories, kind of to the sense of the article, right? Of course, and quality, of course. And there is a lot of hype, let's be clear, but there is it's a proper hype, because like any other technology, when it pops up, there are some expectations, there are high hopes, but then in the end, it will just get to some point kind of reasonable expectations from AI. CEOs of the companies which kind of promise you that you will create software without developers, they say it, and kind of their revenues growing exponentially, like not even like a hockey stick, but
at $1 trillion. Yeah, just say something on the stage, and then and basically your company is growing $1 trillion in capital value. Very similar to what the science fiction authors were doing, right? They were also predicting all of that. They didn't add to a $1 trillion capitalization to their net worth, but they were doing it. Sorry, Sergey, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to say that there is hype, but behind this hype, there is a real thing. So definitely AI can, it not only can, but it influences the way how things are done. Kind of right now, so we run YouTube channel, like more than 50,000 subscribers. And before graphical designers were able to create thumbnails for our videos, right now, kind of the same person can create thumbnails faster because kind of AI helps it. And then, you know, he just finishes with smaller touches here and there. So, but still, it's not a replacement for graphical designer. It's a booster for graphical designer. He can do more work than he was able to do before. With software engineers, it very depends on the type of task that you work. Kind of, if you prototype, AI right now gives a lot of possibilities to prototype quickly. So you can make some clickable kind of almost applications to present the idea. Before, you were able to do so with, I don't know, some napkin and, you know, some pencil, but then you were able to do it with some instruments like Figma, kind of create some clickable prototypes, right, before it was envisioned. But right now, you are able to make like almost, you know, almost ready to use. Some corner cases not covered yet, but still you're able to show it, present it, and kind of even get some feedback.
When my business needed to hire someone urgently, it felt like I needed them yesterday. We struggled to find quality applicants quickly, and that's when Indeed came to our rescue. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed receive 45% more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. Hiring used to be a drawn-out, overwhelming process, but with Indeed, it became incredibly fast and efficient. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute I've been talking, 23 hires were made worldwide on Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to boost your job visibility at Indeed.com/founders story. Just go to Indeed.com/founders story right now and support our show by letting them know you heard about Indeed here. Indeed.com/founder story. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring Indeed is all you need. Starting your business should be simple. That's why I love what Northwest Registered Agent is doing. You can build your entire business identity in just 10 clicks and 10 minutes. Seriously, whether you're launching your first company or your fifth, you get more when you start with Northwest. More privacy, more guidance, and more freedom to run your business from anywhere. They've helped businesses grow for nearly 30 years, and they've got your back. For just $39 plus state fees, Northwest will form your business, create a custom website, and set up a local presence anywhere you need it. Want more? They'll protect your identity by using their address on your formation documents, and their premium mail forwarding gives you a real business address that keeps your home info private, which I have used this service for many years. Don't wait. Protect your privacy, build your brand, and set up your business in just 10 clicks in 10 minutes. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/founders and start building something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/founders. Ever wanted to explore the world of online trading but haven't dared try? The futures market is more active now than ever, and Plus 500 Futures is the perfect place to start. Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments, S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices, energy, metals, Forex, crypto, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade from anywhere right from your phone. Deposit with a minimum of $100 and experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for. See a trading opportunity? You will be able to trade it in just two clicks once your account is open. Not sure if you're ready? Not a problem. Plus 500 gives you an unlimited risk-free demo account with charts and analytic tools for you to practice on. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves the risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
So prototyping, definitely very good. Some routines can be covered with AI, but it's still... This is my perspective, okay? So I still don't think that it's possible kind of to develop on scale kind of product after product after product by one person or by two person. Like, there were always cases before AI, right? Like, I don't know, Minecraft, so it has been created, or like Quake, it was created by just very limited amount of people. And big products. So there were always cases like indie developer. Yeah, Instagram, like indie developers, a few people who can do this with AI, yeah, in the initial stage. Yeah.
Yeah, this has been amazing. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. The future looks bright. I like that. The future looks bright. It's boosting the abilities of many people to get even more things done, which in the end could be great for them, great for the company, great for employees, great. So I'm excited about those things. But if people want to get in touch with you, they want to find out more about Railsware, all the things that you're working on, how can they do that?
Well, they can visit railsware.com. All the contact information is there. Form, email, kind of our social media, LinkedIn, the Instagram, so YouTube channel.
And it has links to other things, right? So it has links to all our current products. Soon it'll have links to the joint venture products. Each one of our products, Coupler, Mailtrap, and Titan Apps, they have their own YouTube channels, which also do, you know, a great job of educating about the particular subject. So Railsware has a YouTube channel about how do you build products, how do you do roadmaps, how do you, you know, figure out what do you focus on. And Coupler has content about how do you connect APIs to BI and how do you analyze the data and what's your approach on doing that. And so there's a web of resources, right? Our blog is great. There's a lot of information and content to learn from there. And you can ask AI, hey, focus, narrow down on Railsware and its products, tell your story to AI and say, how can Railsware approaches and principles help you? And then it'll actually be able to tell you like what our methodologies and principles, you know, mesh to you. We have a great employee handbook or just handbook of how the business works. And this can be a great deal. One thing I wanted to add about AI is that it makes people articulate things more to AI. It makes you think. It makes you go back and forth with it. And I think if also, and then you can do prototypes on it. You can generate images and you can ideate better. Before, there was like either you doing the job as a solopreneur and then hiring the team. And hiring the team with this big cornerstone, which is incredibly hard. And we have probably a billion content about it, and we can record a separate 50-hour video how to record, how to hire people, how to not to hire people, how to fire people, and what to do with them, and how to help people grow, right? But with AI, as you articulate, as you try to figure what your ideas are, you now have this intermediary thing between except for just people, right? Because people act like they understand you, but in 99% of cases, they do not really understand what is that you're thinking about. You have your picture in your head, I have my picture in my head, and then we're kind of like living in two separate worlds for sure. And we have a method how to bridge this world called bridges. It also has a really, really great video. We can give you a link you can send to people about it. Like how do you all go in one page by actually looking in one page, right? But AI is a good thing. Like it's a good thing for kids because kids are asking it. Like sometimes, you know, when we tell our kids, well, don't do this. And they're like, why? And they're like, well, because of this. And they're like, wait a sec, let me check with AI. Maybe you're wrong. So there's this, you know, marriage counseling, like a third person, third entity in those dialogues. And I think this is a great thing for the world to figure what is it that you're thinking about? What is your consciousness thinking about? So
I'm with you. It's opened up my mind to thinking in a different way, thinking much bigger than what I am. You know, I think, you know, I get stuck in this sometimes a smaller mindset, but when I use AI tools, I leverage different things. I'm like, there's the unlimited possibilities of the things that we can create nowadays are very excited. That's why I hope people check out Railsware. It's been great having you both on. I think we had a great discussion. I took away many things from this conversation, and I have to go back to the timing thing. Timing, luck, abilities, finding the right partners like Railsware when you want to create, you know, something that you're going to impact the world. These are all the things that, you know, I took away from today. But thank you both for joining us today on Founder Story.
Thank you, Nino.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Running a business can be exhausting. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI, from site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want, the way you want, and manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.